Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Napalm smells best in the evening. It's not worth believing what you heard. Soylent Green, really, just a trinket, not a people biscuit. Take my word. It's been said you can't handle the truth, but that ain't so. How do I know?
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
I have felt it.
We have a new enemy, Luke Skywalker.
Yes, my master.
He could destroy us.
He's just a boy. Obi-Wan can no longer help him.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally.
Yes. Yes. He would be a great asset. Can it be done?
He will join us or die, Master.
Woohoo. Spooky. Welcome to a very special episode of I Was There Too. Today's guest, the voice of the Emperor in the pre-special edition Empire Strikes Back, Clive Revel. I'm Matt Gourley, and this is the show where I talk to people just like Clive that had some small but significant role in a great film. Today's episode started like any other, but then quickly became something a little more, or maybe less, but different for sure. First, because Clive was such a lovely gentleman. Wonderfully out there. I'm not entirely sure how much he remembered about his experiences on the film, but it was super fun going on the journey with him, even if it was just for his first answer as to what director Irvin Kershner told him about the role. It's such a lovely, vague answer that might even get at the vagueness of the Emperor itself, even if that is just a happy accident. In some ways, it was like sitting across from a benevolent version of the Emperor himself. Something about it was so charming, but what I'd end up finding out is that between the vagaries and mixed memories of his answers and what I'd soon discover was a strange controversy of who, and indeed what, actually played the Emperor, this would be a very special episode, a mystery in some sense. Because let me explain to you the short history of this character. It didn't begin as the Emperor we all know from Return of the Jedi, so brilliantly played by Ian McDiarmid. It began as a hologram of a cloaked figure that was actually played by three entirely different beings. The reason I say beings is because it was voiced by a man, today's guest, Clive Revel, acted physically by a woman with some prosthetic facial appliances, and then had the superimposed eyes of a chimpanzee. Yes, that's correct. My first thought when booking Clive was that I'd try to at least track down the woman, Elaine Baker, credited with the role, and then do who knows what with some chimp segment where I no doubt would have used my cat as a stand-in for the chimp. But the more I looked into it, the more I found there was some disagreement as to who actually played the Emperor physically. But more on all of that in the second half, as I'm joined by two experts and friends, Pete the Retailer and Alex Robinson from the just fantastic Star Wars Minute podcast. They join me in my dive into the darkest and most trivial depths to help me crack this case. Are we successful? We might be. Is the journey worth the destination? You goddamn better believe it is. All right, let's get on with this episode.
The film, The Empire Strikes Back. The year, 1980. The role, the voice of the Emperor. The actor, Clive Revell.
Did you ever think you'd be roped into an interview about the Emperor by your accountant?
Oh, that's one of the more extraordinary things that could happen in, as we say, show business.
So how is it that you came to be the voice of the Emperor in The Empire Strikes Back?
You want to get to the good bit, do you?
I want to start with that, but I want to hear the whole story. We'll start there.
Well, the director, of course, his name's gone right out of my mind.
Irv Kirshner.
I'd done a couple of things with him, and we were great friends. I lived in London, and he would come over and do things in London and the continent. And he was a very garrulous character. He'd wander around all over the place. He was a marvelous man.
What do you mean he'd wander around all over the place? What does that mean exactly?
Well, he was just a person who would go through, you know, looking around.
Curious, huh?
Cities and life. And where are you going? Oh, he said, I'm going over to Russia for a little while. And I said, Russia? Oh, extraordinary. Yeah. But anyway, bless him. But he would drop by and we'd talk about all sorts of things. Where am I going with this? I don't know where I'm going. Wandering off. Of course. Anyway, by this time I'd come out to Los Angeles. I'd backwards and forwards doing stuff. I lived in London. And he said, I've got a little problem. And I said, well, what is it? He said, I'm doing a picture. He said, and it's coming up the home straight and we're putting it all together. And he said, I need a very, very special thing. I said, well, what is it? And he said, I don't know, have you seen the other films? I said, I don't go and see those films. Anyway. So he said, well, here's the copy. So he gave me this piece of paper and I looked at it and I said, Irv, did you bring me down for this? And he said, yes. I said, well, he gave me a bit of the background. And he gave some more background, more background.
Do you remember what he told you?
When he said, the character is perhaps not a person, but is a persona, a thing. And he has created this element, this world, this, call it what you will. And he is the emperor or the president, or whatever you like to call it, of this thing. And something has gone wrong. And the thing that's gone wrong is that this idea had been drawn into it by people. And these people were behaving in a most peculiar fashion. And the emperor had suddenly come out of the marsh of the universe. And he just didn't know quite what to do about it. And so I said, okay, fine. And he is a, you know, that figure is, you know, it's a hologram.
Yeah.
And I said, well, give me the piece of paper. So I said, fine. I said, looked at it, and I said, okay. Yes, I can see that. Yeah, yeah. Now it's beginning to make something, yeah. So I did one take. I said, just a minute. Let me do another one. I said, let me have a think about this. And I said, okay. I said, we're going to come very close. And what I did was this. There is a great disturbance in the Force. And that was the voice of the Emperor.
What were you thinking about in terms of your physical representation of that character?
Nothing of that. It was not a fantasy. It was an element. Take the elements that we live in. Earth, air, fire, water, for instance. And this thing had created this, whether it's a universe within a universe, a world within a universe, who knows? And these people had this, who were flesh and blood, were kicking it around, and they all wanted it. And he did not quite get it, because he was in charge of this. It was not a figment of the imagination. It was a somewhat malleable fantasy of his. So when he said, "There is a great disturbance in the Force," and those seven or eight words were the voice of the Emperor.
And did they show you any kind of physical representation of what he would look like at that point?
No, the representation was somewhat shadowy, sort of mystical. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be like a human being, like we're sitting across this microphone now. It could be... Now, we've all had dreams, right? Yeah. Everybody had a dream. Some people had a nightmare, which is you can't put any context into it.
It's abstract.
It was abstract.
Yeah.
It came and went. And that is, in fact, what was used in The Empire Strikes Back.
So do you mean by that originally, because it's your voice, it's a woman's face with makeup on, and then chimpanzee eyes superimposed on that. And those three elements give it a sort of otherworldliness that you're kind of talking about.
That is absolutely correct, yes.
Interesting.
When I've done these things that you go to, you know, the
a convention or something?
Convention.
Yeah.
And people get a bit, what do you think? We're going to get that. You know, well, you're the voice of the Emperor, huh? Yes. And I've had several people, I've had them come, and they get just a little bit, as we say, narky. They're getting just a bit, little bit, and they think they know everything. I said, would you come behind with the microphone, behind the desk? And I said, there it is. It's on paper. That's what the voice, the Emperor looks like. Shadowy, shadowy, shadowy. And I said, I want you to just stand just across the microphone and close your eyes and think about it. Oh, yeah, all right. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. And I go to the microphone and I say, there is a great disturbance in the Force. I've had people damn near drop down, faint, because what you're doing is bringing an element of reality, but non-reality, into this thing that they have given part of their life, which may have been 2 years, 10 minutes. And they're standing next to this thing with their eyes shut and listening to this thing.
Let me give it a go. Give it to me one more time. Let me shut my eyes.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Reminds me of the time I interviewed the woman who plays the face of the demon in The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And there were times when she would make that expression, and you do get a little bit of a chill. You know?
Well, yes, because that's what, the story is. Any story. Once upon a time, there were three bears. There was Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear. And they all lived in the forest. And that's what we as parents have told children and have had our own parents tell us the story of Grandpa and Grandma. Tell us those stories. Once upon a time, there were three bears, Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear.
Now I can say I've had the Emperor tell me the three bears story. I can check that off.
Look, it doesn't matter whether it is this or whether it's Hamlet or whether it's out of the Greek tragedies. We as the audience go to the theater and we sit and listen and we become enthralled by the development of the story.
So you've done quite a bit of Shakespeare. I'm a big Shakespeare fan. Do you have a favorite Shakespearean role? I know your first was Sebastian from Twelfth Night. Is that correct?
Well, yes, that was a rather sort of genteel one, yes.
Even the role of the Emperor has an element of Hamlet's ghost father, kind of even the way it appears, and you imagine Hamlet's father appearing like that.
Yes, it's all of that. In Shakespeare, it doesn't matter how daft it is, you must get into the gut of it, because Shakespeare was no fool. And whatever he wrote had an element of going somewhere, you know. The one that was quite interesting was that we were doing The Tempest with Sir John Gielgud.
No kidding.
And we'd brought it down the second year.
Was he Prospero?
Yes, of course.
I could have been you.
You just don't sit there and say that, John.
Who did you play?
I played Trinculo, the clown.
Yeah, okay.
And it was directed by Peter Brook, who was great fun. Well, it wasn't great fun. He was very serious. the last time I saw him, he said, "Ah!" And he walked away from me. I said, "What have I done now?" He didn't want to talk to me.
Why?
I don't know. I never found out.
What did you do? You don't have any idea what you could have done?
No. So anyway, there we are.
Well, there's a whole story there, I'm afraid.
Oh, I've got stories that'll keep you here until 12 night. Anyway, here we were at Drury Lane. Beautiful theatre, beautiful theatre. And I'm standing on the side of the stage, and I was just looking out, and I felt this person, and I looked out of the corner of my eye, and I said, "It's Sir John, Sir John." So I looked up, and I said, "Good evening, Sir John." "Good evening, Clive." "You know, I really feel quite chic in my sack look." And he was dressed in a sarong then and sang.
"I look like a russet potato."
Yes, like that. And they had his last, at the end of the piece, "Now my charms are all o'erthrown. And what strength I have's mine own, which is most faint. Let me not, since I have my dukedom got, and pardon the deceiver, dwell in this bare island by your spell. And my ending is despair, unless I be relieved by prayer, which pierces so that it assaults mercy itself and frees all faults. As you from crimes would pardon me, let your indulgence set me free." Now, that is the last sonnet.
Wait, are you sure you didn't play Prospero?
No, but I listened to it every night. This clown, and he'd lost his pants in the wreck, and I was there in underpants and a hat on. I used to get on every night, and I was in tears by this absolutely gorgeous voice.
I can imagine. What era, like what?
It was probably in the late 40s, 40s on, something
wow,
like that.
Wow, you guys were just all young bucks up there, huh?
Oh, yes, and Patrick Weimark, who was a great friend of mine, he was being the other clown. And I came in one day, and there was a fellow at the stage door. He said, "Mr. Merrill," "I've got something here for you." "Oh," I said, "thank you very much." I took an envelope. No, anyway, I thought I'd stick it somewhere. I don't know, some dickie he wants something. And anyway, I went home that night. And I opened it up. And I still got it. And the element of it was, "Dear Clive, the role of Trinculo is the one I've always wanted to play." And it went on and on and on and on. I saw the performance the other night. It was just absolutely magnificent. "Thank you. I no longer wish to play it." Signed, Alec Guinness. How about that? So that was that.
I'm going to bring it a little bit full circle. Did you ever end up seeing the footage of you as the emperor?
No, I never did.
Really?
Well, footage.
Yeah, the finished product of you.
No, I never did. I never did.
Would you care to watch it?
When?
Right now.
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
Oh, you've seen it? And what were your thoughts of it? When you saw what it looked like, what did you think?
Well, it was exactly what they wanted. And that was the director. Uh-huh. Yeah, that is what I want. You see it, you don't see it. It's there, it's there, it's there, you know.
And was there ever any discussion of you playing the role in the third movie, the one that followed that? No.
No.
Would you like to have, do you think?
To be perfectly honest, I don't know. That was the beginning of this incredible metamorphosis of this idea. There is a great disturbance in the force. And then they went through all the business of trying to trash everything and each other on the surface of this little planet called Earth or somewhere. But there was the line of action through it.
I could easily see you playing the part, your theatricality and...
Yes, but the point is, you say theatricality, but you could say, I am the emperor. You do what I tell you. Then you could come and say, I am the emperor. You do what I tell you.
You know, it's funny when you do those two renditions, the first one is the one that they ended up going with. I don't know if they had chosen your takes or you were aware of that, but in the film, it has that deeper timbre to the voice.
Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, I think I did it with Kirshner, when I was stood there in the mic on Wilshire Boulevard in this little recording studio. And I did it about three or four times. And when I finally got, it's not a question, any sort of, there is a great disturbance in the force.
That's it.
No.
Okay, maybe not.
It can't be that. It must be, because I think I gave him about four or five of these. And I said, no, it must be that amorphous creature that you see on the screen.
Yeah.
And so it must be, there is a great disturbance in the force.
And yet they went with the former. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Well, you never can tell, huh?
Well, it's their stuff, you know.
Yeah. And so what are you up to now? Do you have anything that you're working on that you can tell us about?
No. As we say in show business, I've hung up my tits.
Well, I do want to thank Leanne. Leanne, now you're Clive's accountant, is that correct?
Right.
And are you a listener to the podcast?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And every week I would hear you say, if you can connect us with somebody, and I would say, darn it, I wish I knew somebody. And then one day I just suddenly realized, oh my gosh, Clive has done so many different things.
I do the Emperor's books.
Exactly.
Which it's got, yeah, that's, books. I mean, there's got to be some crooked dealings going on there if you're running
I'm not
the...
allowed to say.
Well, I thank you very much for making this happen. Clive, you've been wonderful to talk to.
Before we go,
uh-oh.
I told you about this. I just came back from Europe. I had a call from a gentleman who's a writer and director of a film. It was happening in Hungary. And I thought, oh, I've been to Hungary, yes. Yeah, I went there for a picture. I love it because the Danube runs right through the center of the city. It's a very romantic place. And I thought, oh, it'd be a nice trip to go over there. And so where am I going with this?
What's the project? Tell him about the project that you were out there doing.
Yeah, it's gone right out of my mind. Oh, it's a Spanish film, and it's called The...
Queen of Spain?
Yeah, La Reina de España.
So you haven't exactly hung up your tits.
No, I haven't, because in a film, of course, it's there, I don't think I could do anything without a lot of chatting.
Yeah.
Because my memory, as you can probably guess so far, is not top drawer at the moment, because I'm really quite old.
But I've had a wonderful time talking to you.
No, it's been great fun.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to all those wonderful people out there.
Well, there you have it from the Emperor himself. Thank you, Leanne, so much for setting this up. I'm not entirely sure how much information we ended up with, or even how accurate that was, but I wouldn't change a thing. That's actually half the interview that we did. He had so many wonderful stories about other things. I may at some point put up the full interview, but in the interest of the Star Wars elements of this podcast, I cut it down a bit. And we even had another Shakespearean soliloquy. That's two for this program now, the first by Peter Jason. Check out that episode. But like I said in the intro, this interview led me on a trail and a mystery and a conspiracy that continues to this day and maybe beyond this episode. We know Clive Revel was the voice of the Emperor. We know a chimpanzee played the eyes, and we know that a woman named Elaine Baker is credited as playing the body of the emperor. She's the ex-wife of the special effects master, Rick Baker. But did she really? I'll explain why that's still a question after these messages when the boys from the Star Wars Minute podcast join me to figure out who dat emperor. That's a new segment I'm calling Who Dat Emperor. We'll be right back. Joining me now for a segment I would like to call Was I There Too? Pete the Retailer and Alex Robinson from the excellent Star Wars Minute podcast. They are here as basically expert witnesses. I flatter myself to say that I would be like a Kit Fisto Jedi level Star Wars nerd, though the fact that I just referenced Kit Fisto makes me more of a Mace Windu level Jedi. My point is, these guys are Yoda level Star Wars experts, and I am happy to have them here today. Hello, Alex and Pete.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
This is invaluable to have your expertise. Now, for the listeners, they do a podcast that, because it's called Star Wars Minute, means they go through, starting with the film Star Wars, A New Hope, technically. They do an episode. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Did you notice that on my I Was There Too episode, I didn't call it A New Hope?
I did. I appreciated that.
I thought of you the whole time I didn't do that.
Well, strictly speaking, we did the pre-special edition version, which was not called A New Hope, so... We did the original 1977 New Hopeless version of the movie.
What we're talking about here today is the pre-special edition Empire Strikes Back. It's all the more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to what you guys do, you probably have a really concise way to explain this, but essentially, every episode is about 1 minute from a Star Wars movie. Not that it's about a minute in duration. It's about 20 to 30 minutes in duration, but the subject is one specific minute, and every episode is the next chronological minute of that film. You've already finished up the original trilogy. You've even done episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and soon you're moving on to episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
We can't deny it. It's true.
Our fifth movie, covering every single minute, so that's over 500-something episodes.
Technically, we also did the Ewok adventure, too, so 5.5.
Not minute by minute, though. That would
be
crazy.
That's true. Yeah.
No one would survive that. I've been a guest on the show a handful of times. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and I have to say there's something about the way you guys approach the films. You are so knowledgeable about them, but you don't have a kind of... Well, for lack of a better term, that internet nerd authority that is very structured and ruthless. You guys just have so much fun with it and really are the two perfect people to take these films apart.
We like to say we're casual hardcore fans.
I think that makes sense. I feel like I identify with that, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now that we got that out of the way.
Now that you've established our credentials.
Which I would have had to do. I'm going to treat this like a court case because I need to prove to the listeners your bona fides. And we're going to cover something very controversial and very heavy here today. And that is who physically played the Emperor in the pre-special edition Empire Strikes Back. Now, I've explained this already, but it was really played by three entities. The voice by this episode's guest, Clive Revel. The eyes were a chimpanzee's eyes. And the body was played by a woman. Now, technically, the actress on record for this role is Elaine Baker, whom was credited with the Emperor on IMDb, but with an uncredited, in parentheses, credit. Does that make sense? Good. But when I say on record, she's also listed in J.W. Rinzler's The Making of Empire Strikes Back book, which is really the official archive and record of this film, as being the person who played the Emperor in this movie. So, I will read first an excerpt from the book, The Making of the Empire Strikes Back. Exhibit 1, let's have some fun. Okay, this is all the book has to say about it. I possess this book. I know you guys do too, because you've talked about it on your podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a great read.
Essential.
Here it is. On February 5th, Jim Bloom sent a letter to Marjorie Eaton in Palo Alto. And I should mention Marjorie Eaton was about 80 years old at the time. She's a wonderful character actress from the golden era of cinema. In it was enclosed a sheet with the 5 lines of dialogue you will need to know for your lip syncing. We intend to photograph you sometime between Monday, February 18th and Friday, February 22nd. Originally scheduled for November, Eaton was filmed at ILM as the Emperor,
though her test didn't prove satisfactory. She was replaced by Elaine Baker in makeup, with the Emperor's voice later supplied by actor Clive Revel. So Elaine Baker is the wife of special effects master Rick Baker.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one who is credited as playing the Emperor. Okay, does this all clear so far?
Yeah, it seems pretty open and shut.
Oh, hold on, your honors.
Oh,
I'll allow it.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
I will now refer you to two independent sources. A Tumblr blog, I know that doesn't carry a ton of weight, called Making Sense of Star Wars. Let me just read to you from this.
Exhibit 2. The Emperor is who?
Prior to beginning Return of the Jedi, George Lucas had said very little about the character to his collaborators. This is about the Emperor. When it came time to actually film a scene with the Emperor in 79, makeup and effects artists placed some thickly wrinkled prosthetics around veteran character actor and shockingly brilliant painter Marjorie Eaton's eyes and forehead. The end result wasn't creepy enough, so camera trickery was employed to superimpose a chimpanzee's eyes over Miss Eaton's. Finally, the sonorous voice of Shakespearean actor Clive Revel was added. The end result was otherworldly. So now, there's no official source or citation for that. That's just to bolster my case here. But there's more.
Exhibit 3. Was the Emperor Marjorie?
These are good. From the message boards from theforce.net, it says, there is something very unsettling and frankly scary about the original Emperor. A lot was about the mystery. Clive Revel did the voice, but for 3 decades, the actor was only known as an unknown woman with heavy prosthetics and superimposed chimpanzee eyes. It looked like we got an answer in The Making of The Empire Strikes Back by J.W. Rinsler. Elaine Baker was named as the mystery actor. This, however, turned out to be the result of faulty research. The book almost got it right. It made a brief mention of veteran actor Marjorie Eaton testing for the role, but ultimately being switched out with Baker. As it turns out, no one can back up the book's account, including Rick Baker. Though Baker, John Berg, and Jim Bloom have debunked the myth and correctly identified Eaton, this information has come to light thanks to Don Bees. So as it turns out, this is the face of the Emperor, and it's, I will refer you to...
Exhibit 4. Please hold the door.
So this is a photo of what looks to be Marjorie Eaton in some kind of antebellum film costume. Now, from the same blog. Unfortunately, Eaton passed away in 1986. She had already had a long career in film before being cast as the Emperor at the age of 79. In comparison to the young Elaine Baker, it's very easy to see Eaton's features even beneath the makeup. Here's the problem. Elaine Baker is credited with this role. I can't find a definitive picture of her. I tried to track her down. I even looked at what I found to be a trail from Rick Baker and Elaine Baker to their children on Twitter, one of whom my engineer Sam and I were trying to figure this out, thought was this girl that you've actually seen in commercials before, and I tracked her down and she had nothing to do with their family whatsoever. So this whole thing has put me on a weird wild goose chase. But what I'm going to have you guys do is take a look at some of these specific pictures and try to give your assessment as to whether the woman actually in the final film is the younger Elaine Baker as credited or the older character actress at the time, Marjorie Eaton. Pete and Alex, please weigh in.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all of this definitely happened. And it's just about what made it up onto the screen, right? That seems to be the I don't think anybody's arguing that, right? That Elaine Baker at some point was filmed with this.
It seems
Emperor
like it.
Get up. And yeah, and I forgot. Marjorie Eaton was also filmed with this Emperor makeup and the chimp. And was I reading somewhere that there was a cat involved too?
There is. And there's a picture of that on the episode page. Yeah. So they tried a cat for the eyes, which was a Siamese cat, beautiful blue-eyed cat, a chimpanzee, and also an accountant for Lucasfilm. And you can see a photo of that on the webpage as well, and the three of them are in a row.
The coldest eyes of all, the accountant.
I know, the chimp, you can see they're kind of bribing him with raisins, so that makes more sense, but I don't know what a cat would sit still for like that.
I'm going to send you another picture of Marjorie Eaton, as well as what looks to be a picture of her in the makeup, fully, but again, this could just be a still from the makeup test, so it's not definitive proof. Because really, all you can go off of is the chin.
Yeah, Yeah, a little bit of nose, a little bit of chin, like the lips, maybe.
Although, you know, the nose to me doesn't strike me as a prosthetic nose. And when you look at Marjorie Eden's nose, it's very similar to that. I just wish we had a picture of Elaine Baker. I should also mention that I found an Elaine Baker, who's an author, and seemed to have done some kind of makeup work. And I contacted her, and she was just the sweetest woman and was just so effusive in how much she wanted to say it wasn't her, but good luck.
I wish she had tried to fake it. You know, she's like, yeah, that was me. I was in the Star Wars. And then you interview her. And it's clearly was.
Now, I see I'm doing my own Googling in the background here. And yeah, here's a picture of Rick and Elaine Baker together with kind of one of the Star Wars, the Cantina aliens.
Oh, send that to me. I want to see what she looks like.
She looks a little like her features look a little soft, maybe for the Emperor.
Now, what's interesting in the Force.net, it seems pretty conclusive that the three people doing the shoot say that Marjorie Eaton was, in fact, the Emperor. However, there's no source for that thing. I can't find anything to back that up. Like, there's no citation or anything. So I don't know why anybody would lie about that, but you never know what kind of Star Wars agenda there is out there. That could be Big Empire trying to fool us or something.
That's true.
Or they could just honestly be misremembering it.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Or just the internet, you know, that guy was famous on his message board for a day.
That's true.
So yeah,
that goes a long way. Now, there is someone that could, I think, definitively answer this for us, and that's Elaine Baker, but I just couldn't track her down. I will also mention that I put some time into it, but I'm not a private investigator, nor do I have the real burning desire to actually devote so much time and energy to this.
Yeah, it seems like they're no longer together either. So that might not be like, hey, let's talk about that guy that you divorced 30 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring up any old wounds.
I love the fact that this is like piecing together like Roman history or something. You know, it's 35 years ago, and yet it's just as we're baffled by it as if it was, you know, from the 1700s or something.
Yeah, it feels like it should be a PBS documentary or something where people sit around a table that is lit from the bottom, you know, put their little relics
the evidence
down. Yeah.
Finding the Emperor.
finding Sheev.
Oh, there you go.
That's Palpatine's real name for just the average listener out there. His first
below average.
Yeah.
What was the name of the chimpanzee? It's like Buddy.
I can't find that either. Did you find that?
I did. No, not. I didn't. I don't know that. I mean, I'm sure the chimp had a name, but I don't know that I ever knew it.
Isn't it convenient that so many people on this have passed away?
Yeah.
Or are otherwise unavailable.
Right. The only person that seems to have survived this whole debacle is Ian McDiarmid, the current reigning emperor.
Right.
That's suspicious.
Now, I see there's also, looking at the ears on the emperor photos here, I would say there could also be a case to be made that it's all chimp. Because those are some large ears.
Where are you even seeing the ears? Just barely inside the cloak?
There's some of those close-up, hang on, it's one of the ones... Oh, you know what? It's the one of them. Never you mind. It's the one of them actually applying the makeup to Marjorie Eaton. So I'm insulting a very, I'm sure, nice, kind lady saying she has chimp ears. So.
But they are large ears. I mean, you're not wrong.
Are.
And she's passed, so it's, I think, you know, the statute of limitations of ear talk is fine.
Yeah. I don't want to get haunted, though.
What if she comes in her makeup test?
Well, then we can ask her, too. We can
be like, wait, were you in that shot?
I'm very scared of you, but before we begin, I have a question for you.
You could potentially be haunted by as many as four different people in this case. Chimpanzee, Elaine Baker, Rick.
It's like a weird version of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. It's really five. Yeah, the ghosts of emperors past, present, and pluperfect. Wait, so we've got Clive Revel, we've got a chimpanzee, we've got Elaine Baker, Marjorie Eaton, and Ian McDiarmid. That's five actors. That's crazy. This character is like Voltron.
Well, that's not included. We're assuming they didn't actually use anything from the cat or the accountant.
Oh, that's right.
So potentially up to seven actors.
And these are the ones we know about. I mean,
that's right.
They're could be anything in there.
He contains a multitude. I've really wavered because at first, looking at the Emperor's chin and looking at someone's that picture of Marjorie Eaton kind of wearing her antebellum clothes and gazing at us longingly, that made me think, oh no, her chin looks too narrow. But then I saw the front on picture and her chin looked okay. But then I look at Elaine Baker and her chin more or less looks exactly the same as the Emperor's chin. So I know that does not help. But Elaine Baker's nose does not look as imperial as Eaton's nose.
Yeah.
The nose of Eaton.
Eaton's nose.
I would say that the nose is key because that Marjorie Eaton's nose definitely matches the film Emperor's nose. However, is that a prosthetic? I don't think so because I think I have a photo of the prosthetic alone.
Yeah, there's that kind of gnarly looking, like a recent picture of the prosthetic where it's seen better days.
That's on the Making Sense of Star Wars. But also that doesn't mean the prosthetic wasn't there at some point.
That's true. And this isn't necessarily it could even be McDiarmid's prosthetic, though. He didn't have like those cheek ridges, did he?
I think, in Return of the Jedi, he did.
Oh,
If you look at the Force.net conversation, people get into a lot of comparisons about the Empire Emperor and the Jedi Emperor.
Yeah. Although this is coming from a source that says prosthetics worn by Elaine Baker, makeup designer Rick Baker's wife, on Pinterest. But when I go to visit the page, it just takes me to a picture of the chimp. Man, what is going on here?
The picture that I just found of Elaine Baker is from Bananas magazine, so that's more chimp evidence.
Oh boy, this is getting deep.
I love how any other investigation would lead you to the New York Times or something. We're having to source Bananas magazine. I can't wait to find the actual truth in Dynamite with Sean Cassidy on the cover.
Pizzazz.
Yeah. Further research indicates that the cover boy, cover star, what's that called?
Cover lad. The
cover of that issue of Bananas is Alan Alda.
Wow. I'm also confusing this too with Dynamite, thinking it's more, but it is a magazine for kids. Why is Alan Alda on there?
I don't know. Well, it says smashes Alan Alda out of uniform, which makes it sound
sexy.
It's risque, but he's just wearing like a plaid sport coat.
All right. I think it's time to make our closing arguments. I'll start because I think I'll more defer to you two, but I think the likelihood is that J.W. Rinzler must have gotten it wrong, because I'm gonna say there's a good chance that this picture of this prosthetic, which I'll include a picture of on the website as well, was the one, which would mean that the nose we see on film, which to me honestly doesn't look prosthetic, it looks real, and it's a very distinct, almost like Basil Rathbone, John Barrymore profile kind of aquiline Roman hooked nose. It's a beautiful nose.
It's got character.
It really does. And I feel like that's Marjorie Eaton's nose. And though they must have done a screen test with her, and maybe they at first didn't think they liked it, and then they did it with Elaine Baker and they went back to Marjorie Eaton. But I think what we're seeing in that final film, which then wouldn't be the final film because Lucas had to go back in and see, that's another thing. Maybe he's covering his tracks. But I think that pre-special edition Emperor is Marjorie Eaton. Guys, what do you think?
I think I'm going to concur with your conclusion. I think the looking at the nose, looking at that kind of, I think there were definitely different attempts at this, but what we saw originally on the screen, but cannot see now, I'll say looks to me the most like Marjorie Eaton. With the, that like 4% chimp.
4% right. Chimp.
I mean,
DNA.
That's undisputed. Oh, here's another picture of the prosthetic all flattened out, and it looks like a alien face hugger or something.
Ooh.
Hold on before you go.
And we've just been handed new evidence.
Oh, God, I know. Hold the court. This is celebritywc.com for Elaine Baker photos. And the only photos on here are of this prosthetic flattened out and then some weird lady in her car and then Ian McDiarmid. And below that are a bunch of promoted content ads with cleavage ladies.
Now, hold on. Let's explore that part a little bit more.
Okay, so that gets us nowhere closer except that this picture is attributed to Elaine Baker. But Alex, take us home.
I think I'm going to have to agree with my distinguished fellow panelists. There's that unattributed Rick Baker saying it wasn't her, and those two other people saying it wasn't her. And between the nose, I'm going to say it's her, Eaton.
Okay, so it's time to announce the verdict, even though you've just heard it already. Also, what if this whole thing is a giant spin by Rick Baker to defame his ex-wife? I'm not even going to enter that into evidence. That's hearsay. The verdict is Marjorie Eaton. Eaton what? Elaine Baker's eating her heart out is what? Let's end this. It's Marjorie Eaton. We have a unanimous triumvirate here. Three people that are completely in the tank for Big Eaton. And we don't think... That's right. It's a quorum. That's just our expert opinion. This is not definitive proof. That proof might still be out there. Here's what I want you, the listener, to do. If you know definitively, if you have a way you can get in touch with Elaine Baker, Rick Baker, the other two guys that were there, I don't want to look up their names right now.
The chimp,
yeah. Then, and only then, email me at iwasthere2pod@gmail.com. But if you'd just like to weigh the evidence yourself, go to this episode's webpage on earwolf.com. And from there, you can also go to the forum and you can post your vote on there. And I will announce those listener results on the next episode. So that will be the official poll. Again, look at all the exhibits, links to the discussion boards, the photos, consider the evidence we presented here today, and then voice your opinion as a post in the I Was There Too forum at earwolf.com. I'll start a thread. And then we'll see what we find out there. But I think there you have it. This is a good start. We've heard from the experts, Alex and Pete. Your opinion has been invaluable. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for including us.
What do we know about Attack of the Clones Minute? When is that going to start? Is there anything you can tell us?
It'll be soon.
Ooh. Before the end of the year, which is only,
a few weeks away.
67 days away. So sometime before then. I guess we should mention that on December 16th, Pete and I are going to be doing a live show at Nerd Melt in Los Angeles, and we're going to be joined by Matt Gourley.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah, oh. I hope you knew that ahead of time, but in any case, you
are
now.
I wasn't sure if it was the same guy or not, but I guess it is the same Matt Gourley.
As I say, we weren't sure if it was Matt Gourley or Marjorie Eaton. We're not sure. Hopefully that'll get to the bottom of it. But yes.
Well, if ever that was a tease.
Some other guests lined up. We have Paul Rust confirmed. TV's Paul Rust will be joining us, and hopefully maybe one or two other special surprise guests. So,
yeah.
Now, can we talk about what the subject of this show is?
I guess we can do that.
I don't see why not. I think people always, we've got mixed messages on whether or not people hate it when we talk about the toys. But I think we're just going to devote this whole live show to talking about Star Wars toys and which ones were our favorites and what we liked and ones we had, and try not to make it too just kind of, like the Chris Farley show, where we're just like, oh yeah, Lobot was cool.
But, well, I'll tell you what, I was just clearing out my garage and I found two huge plastic containers of all my original Star Wars toys. I'm going to bring them to the show that night and we can have visual aids.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Maybe we should have a a brackets thing, not a Lee brackets thing, but just a brackets where we determine what the best Star Wars toy is.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
All right. Well,
I'm very excited about that. So December 16th, and we should mention, too, that that's the day that Rogue One comes out, but it also comes out the Thursday night before. So all you real Star Wars heads out there will see it then and then come to this show and then go see it again.
Yeah.
Wait, our show again or the Rogue One again?
Yeah, we might have to do an encore.
We might. We never know.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me and getting us, I think, closer to the truth. And before this conversation, I was lost. I was floating through the Outer Rim territories, and now you brought me closer to Coruscant.
Wow, that is some nerdy stuff right there.
I think closer to Coruscant was that soft jazz album.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
Well, there you have it. It's absolutely decided by us. Once again, you can go to this episode's webpage, follow the path to the forum, and post your vote on who you think played the Emperor. And if you do have concrete, and I'm talking concrete information, email me at iwasthere2pod@gmail.com. That's also the email address you can use if you can connect me to a guest that might be right for this show. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter, @MattGorley, Instagram, @MattGorley, Letterboxd, @MattGorley. I'm also on Twitter as @IwasThereToo. Well, we're two-thirds of the way through our Star Wars original trilogy spectacular, and though this one took a strange procedural turn, we'll be back with an I Was There Too on Return of the Jedi in the old familiar format. And now, just like last episode, and like the episode after this, we're going to go out on a classic superego sketch. This time, it's the Brown Snowspeeder Squadron from today's film, The Empire Strikes Back. Enjoy!
Echo Station 3TA, we have spotted Imperial walkers.
All right, Brown Squadron, check in.
Brown 9, standing by.
Brown 8, standing by.
This is Brown 3.
All right, Brown 2, standing by. But if you guys, I swear, I take this job pretty seriously. Okay, I can hear you guys laughing. It's a rebellion assigned call number, all right?
I honestly think we're going to die today, but I can't stop laughing.
Uh-oh, look out, guys. It's one of those camel-y things. Elephant? What do you think it looks like?
I call them metal doggies.
Well, metal doggies, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm dead.
Are they supposed to be shooting at us? I thought they were on our side, Brown One.
No, no, that is the Empire. We're the Rebellion.
So I'm not supposed to be behind you locking target.
What?
I'm just making sure.
No, heavens no. Lock onto the heads of those walkers.
So if I shoot at you right now...
Don't.
Done.
There's too many of them! I've always wanted to say that when I went out! I have not yet exploded, so I'm going to continue to talk in this sort of intonation. Oh, she's going to blow!
I just hit your wing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody. I just Satchimo'd the Brown Leader.
Go for the legs. It might be our only chance of stopping them.
Activate harpoon.
That one fell down, but I think he was just sleepy. Aren't you, Dad?
Oh, sorry.
Good shot, Jansen.
We've got company.
It's Aunt Mildred. Hi, I'm just staying for like 6 years. But if you just have a couch you could sleep on while I just slather all over your bed in a slap down, then we'd be great. Star Wars!
Aunt Mildred, it is I, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Who?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
My first husband.
Listen, have I told you the good news about the Force?
No.
I've got some leave-behinds here for you.
Brown Base, I got a sighting of an Obi-Wan Kenobi ghost. Lock ion cannon on the ghost, please.
This is Brown 7. Ghost.
Brown 7.
Oh, my God.
Can you hear me?
No, I sure can't hear anything. I'm just shooting at stuff. Pew-pew.
Listen to me. I have something here for you.
La-la-la-la-la-la. Everything's normal. I'm just in a spaceship and shooting at a big robotic elephant.
Oh, fine. Ooh.
Self-destruct initiate!
That armor's too thick for our blasters. We've got to try our tow cables.
Oh, good. We've only been shooting them for an hour. Nice work, George Lucas. We've got to take them down with strings. Why didn't we just set up a giant trip line and trip the damn things as they walk by, George?
That's not a bad idea. Let's go for it.
Oh, fuck it. I'm out of here.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm going to take a piss outside of the soundstage, and then we're going to have a cigarette.
See if you can find some giant banana peels. Thought you were dead.
Oh, that's right. Goodbye. Anybody want a coffee or a cafe mocha?
I'll have some of that blue milk. I'll take some of that Tranya. I'm ready for second breakfast.
I just said you were dead.
Goodbye. This is Dak. I feel like I could take on the whole Empire by myself today.
Yeah, shut up.
Well, I do. I feel like I could. In fact,
it's an auspicious day. I'm gonna sing about the way.
Somebody shoot him.
Oh, yeah. My second Satchimo of the day. I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Somebody Satchimo him.
No, wait, I didn't mean it. Got him!
Brown 3, I need some cover. There's some Star Wars stuff going on.
This is Brown 2. I've got your flank. No jokes, guys.
No. We're done with that. We want you to live a long, happy life.
Awesome. I can't wait to show!
Everybody! everybody, launch tow cables.
Please would be nice.
Brown 11 here. My cable's a tail.
Cable out. Let her go.
Cable detached.
So many cables. A kitten on my six.
I did a cat's cradle by accident.
The cable is wrapped around the walker's legs. We're going to take one down.
I detached the cable. Now I have direct TV.
The first walker is down.
That one we knocked down, it's having a puppy.
Then, gentlemen, our work here is done.
Listen, if any of you need to crash at my place, you're more than welcome.
You live out in the Dune Sea, though, right?
Yes, but I've got blow-up mattresses and all sorts of things we could sit up and giggle.
That's a wrap, boys. Let's head on back to Brown Town.
Brown Squadron, when you return to base, be sure to leave your boots on the mud porch. I just told them! Yes, I'm glad you backed me up. It certainly carries a lot of weight with the Brown Squadron when they hear a bunch of beeps and boops. You filthy racist!
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.